State troopers have released the name of the pilot killed in a helicopter crash Saturday night at near Lake Iliamna. The pilot killed was William Zeman from Douglas. The 66-year-old pilot was on his way from Nome, where he was doing seismic work. Clint Johnson is a National Transportation Safety Board investigator, and he says the wreckage of a helicopter belonging to Era Helicopters was spotted just after noon on Sunday.
This flight originated in Nome. It made fuel stops in Unalakleet and Bethel, and the accident took place in between Bethel and Iliamna. Iliamna was the pilot's destination that evening. He was going to spend the night there overnight and then head on to Anchorage from there. We think the accident happened just a little bit after 8 o'clock on Saturday night, 6 miles to the southwest of Iliamna. We're now trying to see if we can get out to the site. However, we're on a weather hold today due to heavy snow in the Iliamna area.
If the weather cooperates, Johnson says the NTSB will investigate the crash site today. Era Helicopters says the pilot was the only person on board. A 42-year-old man convicted in a 1994 Anchorage murder case has been sentenced to 124 years in prison. Superior Court Judge Jack Smith sentenced Kenneth Dion yesterday for raping and killing 18-year-old Bonnie Craig. The body of the University of Alaska Anchorage student was found in McHugh Creek, south of Potter Marsh, in September of 1994. Dion was sentenced to 99 years for the murder charge and 25 years for sexual assault, the maximum for each count. Dion was arrested in 2006 after DNA evidence linked him to the murder. Dion continues to deny that he committed the crimes. As prosecutors yesterday said he had not taken responsibility for his actions in the case, Dion called out that he never would because he did not commit them. Sentencing planned for January for the Juneau man convicted of selling bird parts over the Internet. 37-year-old Michael Patrick Duby pled guilty in U.S. District Court yesterday to violating the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. Other charges against him are being dropped as part of an agreement with prosecutors. Duby admitted that he used the screen name of Shortraker to sell at least 11 black-billed magpies on eBay from February of 2008 through June of 2009. That's even after being warned by eBay officials that such sales could be illegal. Duby, who identified himself as an employee of the Westmark Baranoff and as a charter boat captain in his company Fish Hunter Charters, could be sentenced to as much as 2 years in prison. He could also pay a $250,000 fine and spend 3 years on supervised release. He'll also forfeit 14 magpie skins, 4 snipe skins, and a crow seized by investigators. In September, Duby was given a 20-year suspended sentence for illegal possession of game animals related to the taking of at least 2 bull elk, 11 deer, and 13 antelope in Montana. He was ordered to pay $15,500 in fines and restitution in that case. That earlier conviction in Montana could affect the severity of a sentence for the Alaska conviction. Also in U.S. District Court yesterday, 41-year-old Timothy Paul Beagle of Juneau was sentenced to 7 years in prison for being a felon in possession of firearms. Prosecutors say he tried to sell semi-automatic assault rifles and handguns while also selling marijuana to an undercover informant. U.S. District Court Judge Timothy Burgess noted Beagle's lengthy criminal history and failing to meet requirements of other probation terms as he imposed the latest sentence. The city and borough of Juneau will file annexation petition with the state's local boundary commission tomorrow, seeking to incorporate roughly 1,952 square miles of unorganized land south of the current CBJ boundary. The assembly voted 7-1 last night in favor of an ordinance authorizing the petition. The dissenting vote was cast by new member Jesse Keel, who questioned the timing of the move. Juneau is filing its annexation petition in response to the city of Petersburg, which wants to form a borough that includes the area in question. CBJ officials say the land most appropriately belongs with Juneau, pointing to model borough boundaries developed by the state more than 20 years ago that identified it for annexation to the capital city. During discussion on the matter, Keel asked City Attorney John Hartle why the sudden rush to annex it now. Here's Hartle's response.
I suppose it was the manager's and the mayor's political judgment that if Juneau didn't do something, then the local boundary commission would, nearby default, place those lands into the proposed Petersburg borough.
Keel also questioned City Manager Rod Swope about what effect annexing the largely undeveloped and unpopulated area would have on Juneau's budget. Swope said right now it would be negligible.
At this point in time, costs are minimal to virtually non-existent. And until which time there is actually any kind of significant development in that area, there would not be cost to us.
Keel said he voted no on the ordinance because he didn't think Petersburg's move to incorporate the land was sufficient reason to trigger annexation by Juneau.
If we had a very strong interest in these lands, we would have done better to be the first to file for them before the Boundary Commission, rather than to do so in response to one of our neighbors.
Last week, Juneau filed a responsive brief to Petersburg's petition to form a borough with the local boundary commission. The brief does not argue against the proposed borough, but says the disputed area has more administrative ties to Juneau than to Petersburg. Both communities will be able to make more arguments before that matter is settled, both in writing and at hearings before the boundary commission. Assemblymember Randy Wanamaker was recused from last night's discussion and vote on the annexation petition because of a conflict of interest. Wanamaker is on the board of directors for the Juneau Native Corporation Goldbelt. The company owns 30,000 acres at Hobart Bay in the area being contested by Juneau in Petersburg. Goldbelt Vice President Derek Duncan reiterated the company's desire to have the land remain unincorporated for now, but he said it could make its borough preference known soon.
We will take into consideration how a borough government will affect the development of our economic opportunities at Hobart Bay. We will also continue to weigh what borough option is best politically for Goldbelt in the future.
Sea Alaska, the regional native corporation for Southeast Alaska, owns about 20,000 acres of subsurface mining rights in the same area as Goldbelt's Hobart Bay land. But Sea Alaska officials say they'll follow Goldbelt's lead on expressing a borough preference. The entire contested area consists of everything from the southern CBJ boundary as far south as Cape Fanshawe and east to the Canadian border. The Juneau Assembly will undertake an expedited search for a new city manager to replace the retiring Rod Swope. At its Committee of the Whole meeting last night, the Assembly decided to only advertise the position in Alaska and set the deadline for applications for December 1st, 1 month from today. The Assembly will then take 2 weeks to narrow the list of applicants down to a top five. Interviews will take place in January with the goal of offering the job to the chosen candidate January 30th. Mayor Bruce Botello said the timeline should be manageable.
I don't think we're going to be overwhelmed if we keep to our decision to recruit only within the state.
The Assembly also decided on a salary range of $135,000 to $150,000. That's the low end of what municipal managers typically make in Alaska. Swope first retired almost 3 years ago, but when that initial search fizzled, the Assembly asked him to come back on a 2-year contract, which was due to end yesterday. Last month, Swope agreed to stay on through March 31st, when he says he'll retire for good. Deputy City Manager Kim Kiefer has expressed interest in the position. She was the interim manager during Swope's sabbatical. The city manager is the only position to be hired by the Assembly. The Fairbanks Borough Assembly last week heard from citizens upset at its decision to drop a legal challenge to propose new voter districts in Alaska. State Superior Court Judge Michael McConaughey is expected to decide this week whether to allow the borough to drop the suit. If the petition is approved, it would leave two Fairbanks area residents who have also filed suit to argue against the state redistricting board by themselves. One of the men, George Riley, told the Assembly Thursday that a recent ruling by Judge McConaughey supports the claim that a new district would lump portions of Fairbanks with Western Alaska villages, violates a state constitutional requirement that districts be compact and socially economically similar. Riley told the Assembly the judge's decision also reduces legal costs for complainants.
As the judge points out, we will not be burdened with the costs of having to hire an expert in regards to socioeconomic integration. This stands. He speaks to it right here. So given all of that information, you all may want to take the opportunity to have an executive session in which you could reconsider this matter.
Riley's attorney, Mike Wallery, has indicated that he will formally challenge the Fairbanks Borough's decision to dismiss its claim.